we have in the first reading the very last words of the first letter. And he says we have confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Sounds like a catch-22, doesn't it? Until you look more deeply. Because we're talking about God. And God is omnipotent, universal, infinite. And whatever he wills for us is great. Because God is also love. And so, to join our wills with God and to pray for his will is to always be heard. Isn't that what our Lord said? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So your will for my life, for our life, may it be done. And that's what they're saying here, you know. And if we know that he hears us in regard to whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked him for is ours because he loves us. And then, if anyone sees his brother sinning, if the sin is not deadly, that's mortal, you know, if it doesn't kill you, he should pray to God and he will give him life. This is only for those whose sin is not deadly. There is such a thing as a deadly sin, about which I do not say that you should pray. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that is not deadly. Now that classification includes what? A fixed will to do evil. It's not just, well, I did this and I did that. No, it's a, see? Is deadly. It'll kill you in this world and in the next. And now, of course, after 2,000 years, the theologians have classified the sins and so forth. But the basic notion is still the same. You know, deliver us from evil. Don't let us fall into those sins. We know that anyone begotten by God does not sin. But the one begotten by God, he protects, and the evil one cannot touch him. Oh, I want to be there, right? Don't you? Be begotten by God in a way that God is so protecting us that the evil one cannot touch us. Well, how do we do that? It's a process. It's a process of constant daily obedience. What does God will but our eternal life? Whatever he wills for us is to bring us to eternal life. And therefore, when we pray, as the Lord taught us, your will be done on earth in my life, as it is in heaven, where everyone sees you, is just caught up in joy, and does it, and every movement of their being is in harmony with the Holy Spirit forever. We want to go there, and we want to live there forever. And so he's telling us, well, then start now. Don't sin. Now, learning to listen to God all day is the great art. Because if we're listening to God and obeying him, we're not going to sin. Now, as John says, you know, all wrongdoing is sin. But there is sin that is not deadly. And we can't avoid those. We're just too stupid and weak. But we can try. In the life of a saint, those things are reduced to an extreme minimum. It's amazing. And the Lord is prepared to do that for us if we will really listen to him and obey him. Now, we have to just listen and obey. We may not see the connection. The Lord tells us to do this, so we do it. But in that act, we're freed from the tentacles of sin in a whole other area, because he loves us and he wants us to be with him forever. He knows that our happiness is in him. And so he'll guide us. You know, we've all belonged, and now, or most of us, and we're all at least part of the church, and we're here this morning. Well, we might not have given a lot of thought to it, except I hope it isn't too cold out. But we knew we were going to go to the 8 o'clock Mass, and so we came. But under that is the movement of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can even say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. And so was a great saint, Russian, Seraphim of Sarov. Did you ever hear of him? Well, I could find a little book for you if you want. He was lived most of his life alone out in the Russian forests, and those are big forests, hundreds and hundreds of miles of forest. Then, toward the end of his life, he came and lived in a little hermitage right next to the monastery, and he joined in to the life with the brethren. And a very devout newspaper man, Russian, went to interview Seraphim. And so his first question he asked him was, "Father Seraphim, what is the meaning of life?" And he said, "The whole purpose of life is to acquire the Holy Spirit." And the word he used in Russian for acquire is a financial term. You know, I mean, invest in it, get it, hold it. The Holy Spirit. And so the newspaper man was talking to him some while longer. And all of a sudden, Seraphim's face just became so bright with light that the newspaper man couldn't look at him anymore. He was that. But he was a very down-to-earth person, you know, to say the whole purpose of life is to acquire the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if your life is substantially under the movement of the Holy Spirit, you are going to be at peace, and you are on the way to eternal life. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Well, how do I get there? Two steps: pay attention and obey. It's great to pay attention and hear the Holy Spirit say, do this, do that, or don't do this, or don't do that. But if we don't obey him, it's useless, right? So I've used the example before. As soon as I started, most of you could finish it without me. But our Lord Jesus is like a baseball coach. And he's standing along there, you know, between home plate and first, and he's hitting out grounders. And people are scooping them up and getting them over to first and all the rest. Well, in a day, he probably hits about 40 to 50 grounders to us. We probably don't even see 20 or 30 of them. And the ones we do see, we field about one or two. That's not a good record. How do we get alert so that we could field a lot more, see a lot more, and field them? That's called recollection. Recollect yourself. Now, I don't mean you walk around with your eyes closed or rattling your rosary beads. I mean, just little by little, you develop the habit of being aware of God so that God can move you. One of the great advantages of being a priest is you're always praying over your head. How do I know what I'm supposed to tell that person? I have to pray all day. But so do you. And listen to the Lord. And that's what he's saying here, you see. Anyone begotten by God does not sin. But the one begotten by God, he protects, and the evil one cannot touch him. So the secret, as Seraphim tells us, is to acquire the Holy Spirit. That is, to yield to him, to listen to him. There are times in my life when I'm sure the Holy Spirit wants something, and I can't possibly figure out why. I have no idea why. But if I do it, sooner or later it opens up, and oh, I understand now. Some, I probably won't have that experience till I go to heaven. I hope I go. But it's this notion, you see. And those are the last words of the letter. We are in the one who is true. That is, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And then one last warning. Children, be on your guard against idols. Now, what's an idol? It's something that has ultimate significance in our life. Money, a raise, popularity, comfort, something. And if it has a priority in our life and it's not God, it's an idol. Now, if they put up a statue out in the front lawn, I wouldn't go out and worship it. I mean, I know that much. But I could have all sorts of things that I all day put ahead of God. They're not big, but they are corrupting. And that's why this letter ends with that advice. That's the end of the letter. The last thing he says is stay away from idols. But it's all the stuff just before that that dictates our life. We have to learn to pray and be aware of the Holy Spirit. The Seraphim said the whole purpose of life is to acquire the Holy Spirit. So that when we die, the Spirit is still animating us, and we go see God forever. That's what God wants for us. And everything that he does in our life is to lead us there. And so, well, how do you tell the players without a program? How do you know whether this is from God or not? Well, one way is practice. But another way is to have a spiritual guide so that you have somebody you can say, I think this is what the Lord wants. What do you think? The other person will probably say, give me a few days to pray and then come back. I want to pray about that. But the basic principle is what? If the whole purpose of life is to acquire the Holy Spirit, then he must be acquirable. Right? Otherwise, it's frustration. He wants to be acquired. But that does mean walking differently. I remember once a friend of mine, a father, bishop now, Gus DeNoia, his assistant to Ratzinger when he was head of the CDF. I don't know if I was the one who said this. Anyway, I wasn't. So yes, somebody else asked him when he was moved from being head of the CDF to being a cardinal, maybe being pope. I forgot now. Anyway, somebody said to Augustine, "What's Ratzinger really like?" And the answer was very significant. He said, "He's always recollected." That's beautiful, isn't it? Not the latest news, the latest prices, even the latest weather, to which we certainly have to pay attention. But God is the center of our attention. How long does it take to acquire that? I mean, you still have to drive a car. You can't be closing your eyes, How do you do that? The Holy Spirit will teach you. And you'll know, that he's the one moving you. Well, it's only because that letter ends there that I thought it might be nice this morning just to think, you know. We can puss along, not sinning a lot, but doing a lot of our own will. And, you know, we'll make it, get through purgatory and get to heaven. It's not bad. But there's another way. The whole purpose of life is to acquire the Holy Spirit.